The scripture this morning is from 1 Peter, the first and part of the second chapter. 1 Peter 1, the first chapter, verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, or unhypocritical love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, or love one another from a clean heart. And I'm adding some things in here because there are extra words in other manuscripts that kind of help a little bit. I am reading today from the New American Standard Bible. As I told you a couple of weeks ago, during the month of September, I would be reading from four different versions. And last week was the Christian Standard Bible. This week is the New American Standard Bible. Next week will, well, no, last week was it? Okay, yeah. Last week was Christian Standard. This is the newest New American Standard. Next week it will be the New International Version. So we just continue to be using different versions. Just hopefully this will enrich us a little bit in the scriptures. And he says, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. For, and he quotes, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Or another version says, preached as good news to you. Therefore, putting aside all malice, another word for that is hatred, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, or you may grow up to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and to our hearing of it. And I hope that I can get my voice okay in another minute or so. Let me try another little washing it down. We just read this, but look on your back of your bulletin for just a minute at the verse near the end of our scripture text for this morning, chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Now, just as I said a moment ago, this is the wording of the New American Standard Bible. The idea of this verse following the preceding ideas from chapter 1, starting at verse 22, is that previously Peter was admonishing his readers to treat each other kindly and to be loving people. And he says, since that is the way as followers of Christ you're to behave, then he says, here are the opposite ways people treat each other, and you are not to do these things. And therefore, he says, therefore. And when we say therefore, what we mean is, since I just said this one thing, what is now following is built on that idea. And, of course, what he's talked about is being kind, loving people. Therefore, do such and so, and do such and so, and because you've done that, then now do this. Or in this case, he says, because you've done that, don't do this. So you're not to do these things, Peter says, and he ends up with, you're not to slander. Put aside all slander. It seems to me his prohibition against slander had some special deeper meanings. And so I went to other translations to see if maybe that was so. And I think you'll find this interesting. I found several translations that use the same word, the same idiom, put aside slander. But there were other translations that appeared to deepen the meaning of slander, although the word slander is bad enough. But listen to these additional ones, and remember, the admonition is to not do these things. The Worldwide English Translation says, stop saying wrong things. The Living Bible says, stop talking about others behind their backs. The Good News Bible says, rid yourself of insulting language. The Amplified Bible says, stop hateful speech. The Geneva Bible, and by the way, this is the 1599 translation, the Geneva Bible, it says, stop all evil speaking. And that's the same wording that's in the 1611 King James Version. Stop evil, all evil speaking. The NIV, the New International Version that we'll be reading next week, stop slander of every kind. And then the Wycliffe Bible says, stop all backbiting. Well, I have to tell you, I looked into the word, the concept of backbiting, and I decided this idea, what's conveyed by this word, is probably what Peter was getting at as one of the really bad things that he was trying to say. All of these hurtful things, including slanderous backbiting. These things are so bad. They are sinful. They are sinful because you intend to hurt someone. And so this is what the word backbiting means by definition. Backbiting is to say negative things, hateful, insulting, slanderous, evil, wrong things about another person, and to say them behind their back. It means to harm another person by going behind their back to libel them or to slander them. The sin of backbiting is the sin of evil speaking so as to condemn, so as to lower or disgrace the reputation of another, or to smear the good name of someone. Thus, the backbiter is a defamer, an evil speaker, a slanderer. In fact, in many newer translations of the scripture, the word slander is the word most commonly substituted or used instead of the word backbiting. Anyway, I think the word backbiting or backbiter catch your attention. So I'm using it primarily today for this sinful behavior that is conducted against someone behind their back. This is a little difficult concept, and you know, and I'm so delighted with this. Laura always tries to pick hymns that go with the concept of the message. And she told me, well, I chose some really nice older hymns because I couldn't find anything that talked about backbiting. Well, we don't talk about it very much. We don't talk about it very much. but I think the words that I'm trying to get across here, backbiting, backbiter, is something that Peter was so critical of. He's critical of this kind of behavior, and he states it very plainly here. He talks about slander, but he's not the only one who warns against it as destructive. Peter's not by himself. It's not just his evaluation alone. Backbiting or slandering or evil or harmful talk about someone behind their back is called out as sinful throughout God's Word, and it is criticized far more than we tend to pay attention to. I don't think we really pay a lot of attention to this. Using the word slander, which is, I say, much more common in Scripture than backbiting, I quickly found at least 28 verses in 11 chapters of the Old Testament and the New Testament that speak of God's condemnation of this evil, condemning this particular sin. Well, now here's a short list of them, not all of them. I didn't include verses from Deuteronomy or 2 Samuel or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or some from the New Testament, but here's some. Leviticus 19:16, do not go about spreading slander among your people. Psalm 15:3, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, cast no slur on others. That's what you're not to do. So it says this is good. Psalm 41:6. When one of them comes to see me, he speaks falsely, while his heart gathers slander. Then he goes out and spreads it around. Psalm 101:5. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. Proverbs 10:8. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Matthew 15:19. This is from Jesus. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. Listen to these evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Romans 3:8. He says, okay, you're going to talk about me. Why not say, as some slanderously claim that we say, let us do evil that good may result. Pretty bad, isn't it? There's no question that backbiting or slander is condemned throughout Scripture as sinful and wicked. But as with all of our sin, Jesus gives us the hope of forgiveness, like he does with all sin. Here's Mark 3:28. Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter. My goodness, he talks about all the sins and he just singles out slander. But he says it can be forgiven. So it's undeniably sin. Well, let's just see how bad this is. Now, I'll be among the first to admit that I grew up sort of knowing that to engage in backbiting was a bad, it was a hurtful thing. But I'll also admit that I've not always treated it as serious and as gross a sin that it is. As a matter of fact, I'm sorry to say this, but in my experience in today's society, the sin of backbiting is just a common and accepted practice by many, many in today's world, not particularly even seen as a sin. Yet it is sin, and all sin is serious. And when we examine God's word, we truly find that the sin of backbiting is a horrible sin. I didn't include this in the long list that I just gave you because it's part of our Bible text for today, and we've already seen that Peter classifies the sin of backbiting right along there with the sins of hatred and guilt and hypocrisies and envy. That's in 1 Peter 2:1. Notice what he does there. And I didn't include this next one in the list because I wanted to separate it out for a closer look. Paul, writing to the Roman church, also lists backbiting with other serious and gross sins. Romans 1:28 through 32. I'm just going to read through verse 30 because this list of sins that he gives is a long one. Just listen to these. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Now he's going to list them. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. And the list of sins goes on and on, down to verse 32. Now, backbiting is listed here with the sins of the society of a people with whom Paul coexisted, the Romans, a culture that practiced every vice that could be conceived by the wicked imagination of a degenerate and depraved people. Again, it's listed with adultery and murder and disobedience and idolatry and wickedness, with all unrighteousness. So it's fair to say that it is with this unholy company that all backbiters belong. All are associated with all that other stuff. Backbiting or slander Evil talk, evil degrading talk about another is a serious and grievous sin, and it needs to be openly classified as such in our generation. The sin of backbiting or slander is a sin of a degenerate mind, Paul says. In that passage I just read from Romans 1, Paul has described the sinners of his day as people who did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and as those whom God gave over to a degenerate mind, or a corrupt or immoral mind. Those are also good descriptions of such a mind. And those with a corrupt mind are those who far too often have no clear distinction of the morality of right and wrong. Now, the vast majority of men and women in our churches of today would not knowingly associate with a company of adulterers and murderers and idolaters. That is, unless it was to seek a relationship that would be leading to a godly end of winning them over to change their behavior and then on to a saving relationship with Christ. Yeah, I might associate it with them that way. However, many of these same church members are found with gossips and backbiters. You see, it's too sad a fact that many church committee meetings, many Sunday school class meetings, or men's or women's meetings held as church functions break up and then afterwards into little groups of backbiting cliques who slander others. And I'd like to say with assurance, my experience and my observation here for well over a dozen years, that doesn't happen at Boskydale. I've never seen it. But I'm not going to be so naive enough to say it never has happened. Have any of you ever? You don't have to raise your hand. It's okay. And the sin of backbiting is a sin of comprehensive untruth, or maybe half-truths. Nearly every case of backbiting is based on and focuses on total falsehoods or half-truths that give false impressions. Usually backbiting is based on half-truths that are then manipulated to where they can slander a person. And usually if you would ever quote the person who told you the backbiting lie, that person would likely compound the evil by either denying it or telling others that you misunderstood him or you misunderstood her. Unfortunately, but most likely, because of the lack of real morality and too much sin all around you, someone may be saying slanderous, backbiting things about someone else in your presence. And they may present it as a truth. Of course, that's probably what they're doing. So if you're tempted to repeat a story that someone has told about another, before you even utter a single part of what may be a case of a backbiting story, I want to give you three gates of gold. I call them gates of gold, through which you must make a story pass before it gets out. Three narrow gates of gold. First, is it true? Only when you absolutely know it is true can it pass through this gate. Then, second gate, is it needful? What will be helped? Is something need to go because you got to tell this story? Immediately or in the long run, if you pass on this story through this second golden gate, see, in your mind, you've got to give yourself a truthful answer. Something's going to be helped by this. And the last gate of gold, the third one, if the story or the information has made it through those first two gates, the third one is the most narrow of the gates. And that is it going to result in kindness? And if that story or that fact at last passes through these three gates to reach your lips for repeating, then you may go ahead and tell it and not fear of what the result may be. That's the only way. Or here's another approach. A good pastor recommended following 4 rules of conduct of Rotary International before saying anything about another person. This is not a religious approach, but it certainly is a moral and an ethical one. First, is it the truth? Second, is it fair to all concerned? Third, will it build goodwill and better friendships? And fourth, will it be beneficial to all concerned? Now, did you notice that the beginning of both the first step of the three gates of gold, the first step of the 4 rules of conduct of Rotary Club, both of those are the same? Is it the truth? Friends, if you want to know truth, we can know truth. Look to the author of truth. The personal standard of truth, the one who is identified as truth. I am the truth, the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master. That's how you know truth. As followers of Jesus, as Christians, we must always stick with truth and with truth alone. We're absolutely not to be guilty of telling half-truths, untruths, doctored truths, or outright falsehoods. The sin of slandering or slanderous backbiting is a sin of character assassination. Backbiters have no respect or no regard for others. They will break up husband and wife, separate parents and children, tear up communities, divide churches, assassinate the character of girls or women, besmirch the reputation of boys or men, disparage the motives of innocent people. Just all kinds of character assassination. These backbiters, if they are unrepentant, will be dealt with by a just God who will mete out justice on that day when people's deeds are going to be revealed before the judgment seat. But Paul wrote to the Corinthian church that he was afraid that when he came to them, he would find them debating, envying, and striving. And you got it, backbiting. 2 Corinthians 12:20. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would. That means I wouldn't find you the way I really want to find you. And that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. Lest there be debates, envies, wraths, strivings, backbitings, whispering, swelling, tumults. You see, such a condition would be bad anywhere, but all the more so among people who claim to be Christians, as the Corinthian church did. And then the sin of backbiting is a sin of cowardice. Sin of backbiting involves talking about another person when he or she is absent. Again, it means criticizing people behind their backs. It means assigning motives to or interpreting acts of people mostly and usually without any knowledge of the circumstances of that person's thoughts or their actions. Backbiting is just a cowardly crime. It's base, mean, ungodly, unwarranted. Another pastor, Dr. John Huff, once said, I like this one, brother and sister backbiter live in Gossip Town on Hearsay Street, just off Telltale Avenue, near Cutthroat and Character Assassination Alley. Their neighbors are Mr. and Mrs. Hearsay, Sister Have You Heard, Mr. and Mrs. Don't Repeat, Brother Whisper, and Mr. and Mrs. I Do Declare. It's a terrible section of the city in which to live and rear your children. No one is safe day or night from the vicious attacks of these backbiting hounds, common curs of society. Well, I believe Mr. Huff, or Dr. Huff, knew that neighborhood pretty well. As I've quoted from Jesus, Mark 3:28, he said, truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter. So, if we feel guilty of this, or if we are tempted for this, how can we resist it? How can we repent? How can we overcome the whole concept of backbiting? James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 gives excellent advice. He says, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law, judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" So let us hear, brothers and sisters in Christ, brothers and sisters of the Fellowship of Bosquedale Baptist Church, let us resist it. Let us vow here and now not to be guilty of this sin. It's a great sin. What can a victim of backbiting do? What can a victim of slanderous false words against you do? Well, again, as always, the Word of God has the answer to this question. 1 Peter 3, 14 through 17. Even if you should suffer for unrighteousness, even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear or be intimidated, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, those are people that we've identified as backbiters, speak against you, those who disparage your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. And you're admonished to bear with the backbiters, as directed by God's spokesman, Peter, here. Conduct yourselves honorably among the pagans, so that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day he visits. In other words, give your righteous testimony in words and deeds, not fearing what slanderers or backbiters may say. Just keep on living out a life that glorifies God. As slanderers observe your good works and words, they will hopefully then convert and will also glorify God. So, bye-bye, backbiters, and glory to God. And that's all. Amen.